Okay, we are going to call to order the February 16th Administrative Control Board meeting for Mountain Regional Water. Do we have any public input tonight?
We do not.
Okay, so with that, do we have to go into executive session?
We do not.
Okay, it's going great. Okay, so we're on to the consent agenda. Did anyone have any questions on the January 19th meeting minutes?
For me.
Okay, what about the check register?
I had a few on the check register.
Okay.
The Nickerson seal water redundant pump. What's that?
For Lost Canyon.
Yeah.
For a seal water system. Where that's kind of a pinch point. It's a high pressure, low pressure pump series. We're adding the same thing next to it. So we have redundancy.
Okay. Okay. Got it.
One side goes down, we can use the other.
All right. Thank you. Next question is an acronym, the HOA Association dues quarterly. Remind me, what's SCCCOA?
Silver Creek Commons.
It's our.
Silver Creek Commons. Okay.
Our HOA.
Got it. Eminent Tech Services, there was an incident.
Mislabeled.
Yeah. Okay. So we didn't have a breach of.
No, it's a piece of hardware.
IT.
Yeah, it's a PoE switch was what they were replacing.
Okay. Speaking of incidents, workforce QA, there was a drug screening for an accident. Is everybody okay?
Yeah, that was the Jackson where he had to avoid a deer and went off the road.
It goes back in November.
It did. By the time we got the invoice and then got it paid, it was the beginning of January.
Holy cow. Okay.
So that's what that was.
Cool. Yeah, and he was totally fine with that.
He's fine. Yes. Just the truck. Truck bore the front.
That's what we want. Yeah, that's great. Beat the truck up. And then Les Olson, monthly support block hours. It says it's a monthly fee, but I don't remember seeing the block hours. It's for cloud services or something.
Yeah, it's for the DocuWare. It's for the AP stuff we've been working on. So we just bought a block of time with them.
That's what the block is.
Yep.
Got it.
Yep.
That's it for me.
Corey, do you have any questions on the check register?
No, I'm gonna just kind of sit back and get my bearings here. That's all right.
Yeah. I had a couple of questions. So we had a Stewart Electric supply pump, for 5,947. Was that in the colony?
Yeah, I think it was a valve. So yeah, the problem with the colony is they're high pressure valves.
Yeah.
We had to replace one and then we bought a spare.
Okay. And then it looks like we funded our HSA for the year. So how much do per employee do we fund on that?
It's 3,000 for family or two party and 1,500 for single. So basically we fund the deductible on the plan. And that's in line with what the county does as well.
Okay. And what is learn.trimble? Looks like we had $2,400 in training.
It's a training class that Caden will be going to that's part of CityWorks. Trimble is the, if I understand it correctly, is kind of the GPS measuring mapping system, correct?
Yep.
Okay. That is all I had questions on.
All right.
Okay, so, yeah, Joel, did you have any questions? No? Okay. And then
No questions.
We had the surplus vehicles, and then we have a purchase order for two new vehicles.
So on the surplus, if there was we wanted to add a few more trucks, a gray truck that Brandon had been driving down at Lost Canyon, and we knew the transmission was going out on, so we want to get rid of that. And another one of we have two CNG trucks that run on gas and CNG from 2014. We're not sure exactly how soon we'll get rid of them, but we figured we'd get them on the list. We might keep some for seasonals, but just figured we'd get this all approved. Then there was a Big Tech's trailer that we got an offer for the trade-in for the new trailer we're getting, and it seemed kind of low. So we are going to put that out for employees. They seem to be interested. So the company will be able to collect a little bit more for that trailer. And the side-by-side. We're getting a new side-by-side. The 2008 is kind of getting old. Got a better price than what we thought actually on that. So, but we're going to offer that one to employees too. And then at the end of the memo, I just kind of refresh your memory. We have approved some other items before that we haven't sold. So we've got quite a bit of surplus that we'll be getting rid of this year as we bring in some new equipment. Any questions on that or anything?
A couple.
Okay.
Minor typo in that first paragraph in front of district trailer.
Yeah.
It's on. It's
one. And then I noticed that this morning.
Yeah, no worries. And then still to be determined on the prices on a couple of those items. When we've approved these before, have we had an idea on everything or?
We've kind of had a mixed bag. Usually if it's a truck and it's easy to get low book mileage, then we give you a price. On some of these that aren't quite like that, it's a little harder to find. Like the Big Techs, we almost wanted to see what we could trade in for and then realized, okay, it seems like the market will take more than that.
So the offer that we received from the trailer dealer was $2,500.
Try to be above that.
So yeah, so that would be the minimum.
Okay. Yeah. And that's the same with the.
I don't think we've gotten the price on that Rhino yet. That's a little hard. It's not like you can go to the Blue Book and.
Yeah. I had to look up what a Rhino was. I had to Google it.
Brand name.
Yeah.
So we did look into the Blue Book for those, and we found it about $6,500. But we have to factor in what the tracks are worth, and we haven't figured that out.
Oh, it's a track manager.
Yeah. Cool. Hash track. So.
Good. And then with the Kelly Blue Book, that's our minimum? Or do we allow employees to bid below that?
They have to bid at least that. So. Okay. We take the low Blue Book and then subtract 12% because that's the auction fee and set the price there. So that's if nobody bids at least that, then we just take it to auction.
So I guess that was my question though, is I'm still to be determined. Can we approve that if we don't know what that minimum
and is? If you'd like to add that to that, that it's the 2,500 and the minimum. Yeah. I think that's
65 plus track. So
plus track.
We're kind of thinking maybe 7,500 just for a bit. We haven't nailed it down yet.
I think that's fine.
Okay. I'm good with that.
Okay. All right. And then the purchase order, as you may recall, we originally were going to try to order Fords. Ford closed their window like after a day for us. So then we got some Ram trucks on order. Then Ram came back and basically said they weren't selling any of the V8 trucks to government entities. So then fortunately our Ford, Larry H. Miller, where we bought a lot of interstate contract came back and said, we've got two trucks coming that we'll sell you under state contract pricing that are very much like the ones we bought last year. So the price is actually better than the Rams with the V8 just a little bit, but there's only two of them. Our capital budget for this year had three trucks in it, but we're going to get these two purchased and then see if we can find another deal later on this year.
And we're still doing the Rams too?
No, we are not doing the Rams.
Okay.
And I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
Steve, how does this affect our bottom line? I mean, we're spending 91.8, I think. But how does it affect the finances?
It's fine. It's part of when we did the capital budget for last year and authorized, you know, $3 million plus to go towards projects, the equipment and stuff like that is in that budget. So this doesn't impact our income. It just is coming out of our capital budget and we have plenty of reserves and cash to handle these purchases from cash moving forward from last year and other things. So no, we're in great shape that way, Joel.
Okay. Thank you.
Steve, what was the budget allocated to vehicles?
$180,000. But that included getting them decked out. Like this won't include the lighting that we'll have to put on it and some toolboxes we may put on it or things like that. And that can run about $4,000. So we should be fine to be able to get the three vehicles, still get one more truck and outfit them all and be under the $180,000.
Joel, the purchase order
for the Rams came in at $48,980. So these are almost $3,000. They are $3,000 cheaper. And our guys actually like Fords more than Rams, seems to be the history. So yeah, we just have to keep on our eyes out, and this dealership will for us too, if another one comes in that they're willing to let us get a state contract pricing.
And sorry, the Rams were sixes. We couldn't get the V8s.
Correct.
These are V8s.
Yeah. Part of the problem with Rams, we couldn't get the length of beds. We wanted to get the Rams also.
So yeah, I feel pretty fortunate actually, because we were not getting anything from the Rams that we wanted, and fortunate to get these two available for us. So,
and then remind me, as a district, we need approval from the board to move ahead with new purchase orders, but we don't for ones we're not going to, like, if we're not going to go through with the Ram one, we don't have to like make a motion to not go ahead with the previously approved purchase order.
Okay. Do we have to withdraw a purchase order?
You just don't execute it. Cool.
And we did get confirmation from the Dodge dealer that we are not under any obligation.
No penalty.
Since they couldn't deliver.
I have one other question. I apologize. Are we asking enough to start with the items that we're going to sell? We're not starting too low.
That is the stated Blue Book value, Joel.
Okay.
So that would be the minimum on any less than 12%.
And that's precedent for the district. That's what we've
always done. That's what we've always done.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
Okay, so do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda, including the purchase order for the two vehicles?
So moved. And as discussed on the still-to-be-determined prices for the two items.
Okay. Do we have a second?
2500.
Second.
Thanks, Joel. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. That's unanimous.
Last month, we brought to your attention that the county was working on a excavation program with some of the adjoining lots, High Valley, Lot 4, and our lot. By doing that, the county is requesting that we amend the infrastructure agreement to be, the infrastructure agreement to amend it that would include the cost of, or the projected cost for excavating our lot now. Although this amended infrastructure agreement shows that there is an additional cost to the district, in my mind, it's really a prepaid cost because we're going to have to do excavation anyway. So it could be a little more, could actually be a little less since it's being done in conjunction with that. So we're asking for approval to enter into the first amendment to the infrastructure agreement. Our actual excavation won't start for probably 60 days or so. They're concentrating on High Valley, and I understand it's really wet and muddy out there right now. So are there any questions about that?
I had some questions. So we have, I thought you did a great job not knowing how we're eventually going to end up. But in the summary, so we've asked for an extra, it's about 300,000.
350, yes.
And then, you know, 150 of that is kind of allocated, and the other 150 is kind of a contingency, right? Mm-hmm. And there's always a possibility we're going to make that up during construction. I just wanted to feel like we had, you know, a maximum of a $300,000 problem, because when I was first reading it, it looked like we had maybe $600,000
change. Yeah. So there is some unknown in that, Karen, because they're going to take it to a certain grade. It might not be our final grade. So we could end up, as we move along with the process, end up spending a little more for excavation, but the bulk of it will be done through this process. And hopefully they'll save us money on retaining walls and other things that we can see, but it is an unknown.
But it's probably going to make the site fairly flat,
correct,
right?
That is the goal.
Does anyone else have any questions on the?
Yeah, I've got some questions. Are we spending an inordinate amount of money on the excavation? I mean, what if we hit bedrock? What if we hit, and have to blast or whatever?
There are line items for both of those things in this budget, Joel. Of course, unfortunately, you never know with earthwork what you're
going
to start digging, but there are some contingencies in this proposed budget.
Okay. I mean, are you happy with it?
That's a loaded question. I am glad that the work is being done now. It is going to cause us to have to go for a budget amendment, and we're only in February. So it is kind of pushing things along. I mean, I'm happy that things are happening, but it was maybe a little shock to the budget.
Have we gotten enough bids on excavation? I mean, at least three.
So the bid process from this was run from the county. So what the county did do is, because High Valley Transit has some federal money attached, we are not subject to Bacon Davis wages. So there are some savings for us in that. So you'll notice there are some discrepancies between the cost that High Valley is paying and the cost that we are paying on some of the line items. So there are some savings. The county in negotiation did go to bat for us on those things. And then I think the clear and grub was the other line item where we're going to see a savings versus what High Valley was paying.
So what if we run into problems and it's going to cost us more money to excavate? Do we have the money?
So we are, I mean, this should give us a flat lot. Once we actually design our facility, we may have to do more excavation. We do not have, I mean, when we were talking a couple months ago, we felt like we had about $5 million in cash that we could dedicate to this project. At first blush, this project's coming in $15 to $19 million, so we are going to have to go out and either borrow or bond for the project. So we do not have all of the money currently to complete the project, but we do have some money that we're spending toward this project.
Do we have to do any stubbing and all of the water, electric, or anything else?
So a lot of the infrastructure is being handled by the county at the county level.
So okay.
We need to make sure we're charging enough impact fees to the county.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Any other questions on this amendment to the infrastructure agreement?
Is this a recommendation to the county council?
That is correct. We're going to have to go get final approval.
So
actually, this is final approval for the board for Mountain Regional, but the county council has to sign on behalf of the county.
Okay.
Okay.
But you all have to go to the council for a budget amendment.
The capital budget amendment.
That's correct.
Somebody has to.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a recommendation.
Okay. So this is, So motion for approval of the first amendment to the infrastructure agreement, Mountain Regional Water Special Service District, as discussed for Lot 5.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, that's unanimous. So now we have a consideration of the recommendation to Summit County Council to approve the 2023 capital budget amendment.
Correct. So to make the infrastructure agreement work, we have to amend our capital budget. So kind of have gone through the language we'd originally committed to the 358. This is another $603,000 for the amendment. When we finalized 2022, we did a little bit better than what had been projected in October for results.
which is generating enough cash to cover this difference. So we don't have to dip into any reserves or bond or get any money. We have this money. So probably on the next page. So if you recall, we approved $5 million. That was the capital budget we sent to the county in the fall. Below that, I've just highlighted the changes. Do you want to go down a little more, Chris? So you'll see we have an additional $350,000 from cash available from previous years that we're going to use, and it gets added into the line down below. Originally, we earmarked an initial $1.5 million for the land. Now it's $1.85 million. So that's what we will take to county council, that we generated enough cash. It's just coming from cash from previous years, but this is what they have to approve, the additional spending on the land. I won't probably include the next page with to the county, but I wanted our board to kind of understand how much we've allocated, where it's been spent, where it's been committed. So budget amount to begin 2022 was $750,000 that we've been kind of rolling forward. In 2022, we amended the budget to purchase the land. So that was the $1.5 million. And then in this year, beginning of this year, we had allocated $1.5 million. So we had a budget of $3.8 million. We spent the environmental study, the down payment, the loan, the closing costs, the infrastructure agreement, then the CRS architect fee estimated at $980,000, and then the infrastructure, this amendment, $603,000. So you could see now we've committed after this to $3.9 million, almost $4 million, but hadn't budgeted that much. So we had a shortfall of $193,000. We're coming in with about $425,000 of additional cash. We're going to take $350,000 of that in earmarket, like on the previous slide, to the building. So now for the building, we've approved, you guys have approved $4.141 million to cover everything we've committed to this point, which still leaves us $156,000 roughly of kind of slush we could use this year. So that's how it's playing out. But so it shouldn't be too big a capital amendment adjustment. They'll understand it because we're going to them, because that kind of got added to our plate this year. They caused it. Yeah, they caused it.
How many acres? I'm sorry to ask, but I forgot. How many acres are roughly?
Five acres.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, thank you.
You bet. Any other questions?
At what point do we plan on enlisting engineering services to design the building?
So we are currently under an agreement with CRSA, an architectural firm, in Salt Lake. So we're down the road, not very far, but we are down the road.
When do you expect a preliminary site plan?
We are working through that right now. My guess is it will be another 2 or 3 months before we get more. We have some rough schematics.
We will hit rock in that site. So everybody knows there's rock out there. And CRSA might want to be aware of where it is.
So hopefully all of that will get us rest with this right now, with the activation of the county's doing. Okay. So if you look behind Sam, lot 5
is this right here,
right?
Quarry.
Mm-hmm. That white area is going to get shaved down. We'll get some infill in some of the green area on the right-hand side. But for the most part, we're pretty flat. But a lot of that excavation and everything, we'll know sooner rather than later, which will actually be helpful to us.
How do you know there's rock over there?
I'm the development engineer for the Snyderville Basin Water Reclamation District, and I spend about 2 days a week on that job site.
No, I just in all my years in development, like you can never quite predict where there's going to be rock. So
yeah, gut feeling, I guess.
Yeah.
But all right.
So we need a motion to recommend we take this capital budget amendment to the county council.
Motion for recommendation to Summit County Council to approve 2023 capital budget amendments as discussed in session.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Joel?
Joel said aye.
Oh, Joel said aye. Okay, that's unanimous.
Yeah, aye.
Okay, and Steve, you're still on with our January results.
We won't go spend too much time. It's just 1 month, so it's hard to tell a whole lot. But January, we did come in over budget on revenue and under budget on expenses. It's always a good way to start the year. When you go down and look at sales, retail water sales were $20,000 over budget, so a little bit better than expected. Development-related collections were below budget because impact fees, assessments, and meter connections were below budget. In the other revenue, you saw that we're about $56,000 over. The interest income in January was very high. A lot of the interest we earned in January was based off balances in December. And as you recall, we had big balances in December until we spend all that bond payment money. So that came in. That was the lion's share of why we were over budget on revenue, is the interest earnings was just really high. Even though we've really ramped up our interest earnings, it just keeps, the PTIP is paying between 4.5% and 5% right now to us.
Wow.
Which is really good. So yeah. We've got some big balances. So we're making good money in those accounts. If you'll scroll down a little, Chris, let's see. I think we've covered most of that. Yeah. Expenses, a little bit of savings in operations, a little bit of savings in non-depreciation. Once we finalized 2022, a couple of the developer infrastructures we thought we might have to bring on and start to depreciate didn't happen. So we're going to run, we budgeted more for depreciation than we needed to for 2023, but that's better than having under budgeted that. Let's go ahead and go on down. Cash, we're in good position. You can see a total of over $23 million went up in January. We got the payment for the fourth quarter regional supply water from Weber Basin during January. That pushed it up. Probably the big thing to point out is out of the top line, operating cash reserves, you see it went down about $485,000. And if you look down, capital facility reserves went up over $400,000. At the beginning of every year, we take 5% of our operating budget and have to put it in a fund that we can only use on capital facility repairs. So that's why the switch of those funds, they become, instead of free funds, let's say now they're restricted to have to use on repair and replace projects. Let's go ahead and scroll down. Customer growth. So in January, we had 4 people come in and pay for a new connection. Last year, we had 14 in January. So we're below average. Most of those were Promontory. So that's why the impact fee is low, because of our relationship with them. Promontory had 1 lot that they sold in January as opposed to 10 last year. So again, the trend we saw the second half of 2022 with really slowing down connections and assessments continued at least through January, and so far in February, it's staying low. So I'm glad we didn't budget any more than we did for this year. All right, let's go ahead and scroll down a little, Chris, if you would.
And just to let everybody know, Mike is joining.
Oh,
okay.
Welcome, Mike.
Water usage, year to date and month is the same. The thing to, on that first column, MRW customers used 79 acre feet this year in January. Last year they used 79 acre feet. So basically we were right on for usage, for last year, and just a little bit below the 4-year average. Olympic Park, let's see, Park City wheeled 252 acre feet. And Summit Park's already taken 112 acre feet, which is 16% of their allotment for the year of 700 acre feet. All right, we can scroll past that.
Why do you think those guys took so much in January? Is it just that they're trying to fill up their tanks, or?
I'm not sure why Summit Water
took snowmaking.
Snowmaking.
Yeah.
Or we still have a high allotment to be given in January.
Oh, is that part of the contract?
It's a contract thing.
Because when is Park City's new treatment plan online?
Well, they were hoping, we talked to them last year when we were kind of estimating how much they'd take this year.
And they figured it wouldn't be on until at least the second half of the year, and then it'd be in a lot of testing. So they don't see what we wheel to them dropping a whole lot in 2023, maybe 2024. Is that about what you're thinking too, Sam?
Yeah. Plan.
And then the typical graph, all we have right now is a blue dot, but you'll see the blue dot is above previous years. And since usage was the same, that's our rate increase on base. So we'll see how that trends throughout the year. And budget wise, we got some people hiding.
Mike was waving earlier. That's why.
Residential was a little above. A few of them were below, but again, within about $30,000, a little over $30,000 better than budget. Part of that Park City wheeling taking more. And standby fees were a little higher. We got several lots platted that we could start to charge standby fees on. So January, can't tell a whole lot, but at least we started better than budget. So.
And who takes wholesale water besides Summit Water? Who else would be in that line item?
High Valley, is considered wholesale. The lodges up, the canyons, because they're out of district boundaries, have to be considered wholesale as well too, because of the agreement with them. All right. And I think that was it. Although I think I'm still up again.
Yes, I think you're still up again.
All right. So,
to the riveting 6-month cash report.
Yeah, this is a requirement by the state. I have filed the required thing with the state by January 31st, telling them where all the cash we have and where it's deposited. So making sure it's all in funds. So this is the report to the board, shows what we have at Zions, what we have at PTIF, and then the Zions Bank Corporate Trust Division. That's, they invested with PTIF too, but that's basically bond funds that we have to set aside. So those are our three big cash balances or where the money's kept. Cash went up, go ahead and scroll down. We give you kind of cash all the time, but 2022 it climbed again, partially because of we did a little better than budget and we also delayed capital projects. So we just didn't have as much cash going out. Let's go ahead and go down a little bit more. This is the fund that's changed the most probably from 2020 to now. And that's because the debt reserves held by this district, this is where impact fees fell. Mm-hmm. So that was the big jump last year and just kind of continued on. So let's go ahead and scroll down. And then the debt reserves held by the trustee, the number you see at year end is the lowest this number ever is. This is the bonds that the money that we've sent off to pay for the bonds. And since we make most of them in December, this is kind of the payments we make early in the year, not to totally deplete the fund, but that's as low as it ever is, let's say. Other cash, this is interesting from the development side. Most of this money is customer deposits. About $1 million of this is made up of $1,500 deposits from our customers. So even though we're not getting very many new ones right now, we have a lot of people to still complete their construction and get the deposit refunded back to them. That's why this fund is so high. All right. Any questions that in more detail, if you're really bored and want to go through that, go ahead and do that on your own.
And I assume the ones that don't have a balance at the end are ones that are paid off now or?
Well, part of this is to show like probably the top line up a little bit more is if you, for example, Zions, the bank balance was $1 million. But there was a difference between the GL balance because we had a lot of outstanding checks because like the big check to Promontory at the end of the year, they hadn't cashed yet. So that just helps us reconcile everything else. GL balance is bank balance. So but we have all those columns for in case of that kind of stuff. All right.
I have a couple of questions, or at least one, and I don't care if Steve or Andy answers it, I mean, whoever knows. My question of the day is, how's Summit Park?
How's Summit Park, Joe?
Yeah.
We're not going there.
Okay. That is my question. Yeah.
We haven't had as many leaks. We still have a lot of line to replace over the coming years.
Okay. Is how I
would say it, but
I wasn't trying to embarrass you. But I was just curious.
Mm-hmm. Well, with that, we're going to introduce Sam talking about our capital projects.
I think I'm still up, unfortunately.
Oh, you are?
We have two more.
Two more. So we've had this discussion last month, and kind of we spent a lot of money to kind of break this down. So in the report, you'll see on the left, those are the contract numbers that were discussed. Then it explains kind of where the water right is, how many acre feet is tied to that water right, what we've been paying for the last several years. And if you scroll down a little bit, Chris, you'll see it. Weaver Basin doesn't change these very rapidly. So we had a 2.9% increase, a 4.1, 1.6, 1.25. So very reasonable usually is what we get as an increase from Weaver Basin.
And if you look under the name section where it says like Atkinson and Promontory, that's where they originated from. That's where we acquired them from.
Yeah.
And then the increase per year, how is that? How does Weaver calculate that? On an annual basis?
On an annual, they send it to us. They do kind of give us a preliminary already for what it will be next year. They're usually warning you to be far ahead.
But is there a formula they follow or it's
no
black box?
Yeah.
It's their rate study.
Okay.
Got it. So.
Well, I mean, rate study.
Yeah.
And like that's what you're saying, it's really not that.
Yep. Then in addition, we pay them for two loans that we have that we've kind of talked about briefly previously for the transformer and Lost Canyon. And then the big change that happened there is when we started paying the annual regionalization fee as part of the master agreement between all three water entities up here. And then our annual reservation fee, 1,000 of the 5,000 acre feet that could come out of East Canyon. We pay $45,000 a year to keep that, let's say, available to us when that's done. Yeah. All right.
That regionalization fee of $200,000 over 20 years, and that started in 2020.
Yeah.
So we're a couple of years into that.
Yeah, so that's a long run out. Let's go over to bond payments, because since we made all those bond payments in December, there's kind of questions, so I want to just kind of run through that real quick. So to begin 2023, we have $32.5 million in debt. This year, we'll make about $2.7 million of principal payments and pay $856,000 of interest. So our total debt payments this year will be $3.5 million. In March, we make a couple of small payments. In June, we make interest payments on some of them. And then you'll see in December, we'll make the other 2.8. So that's why that fund kind of builds through the year and we put money in it every month. So by the end of the year, will be about $29.8 million worth of debt. That's kind of probably where we'll be launching to have to bond for the office, whatever, you know, if it's $10 million, because we can come up with $5 million or whatever, but we will have to borrow or bond to complete the construction of the office. But at least this number has been consistently going down over the last several years. And at the end, you'll see the maturity date for each of those loans. Another thing to point out is, for example, the Series 2008 is fully funded by Stagecoach. Like, they give us the money to make that bond payment out of their, what we charge them. The same for the 2019 B Series Community Water Assessment. That's all coming out of their money, what they have to pay us. The one that's kind of a split animal is the Series 2014. Promontory pays part of that, and we pay part of that. So we get, you know, more than half of it from Promontory through the assessments each year, but we could, that's kind of a combined of we did some and they did some and where that's all come from. So just a big shot of what our debt is. Usually it's kind of buried in the financials a little more, so just wanted to call it out here so you guys can see that a little easier. All right.
Can I ask a question about that? So what do you think our average rate of interest is now, and what do you think it's going to be when we go out to bond for the...
Our highest ones are actually those two with Weaver Basin there at 4.6%. The treatment, the 2011B, is at 0% because it's a drinking water loan. Oh. The other one from them, I want to say, is like at 2%. We probably average about 2 or 3% on the other ones. When we go out to bond right now, it's going to be expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be north of 5, I'm pretty sure, if not 6. Given the interest rates, but yeah.
Are there opportunities to refinance those down the road if possible?
We've done some refinancing. We can't touch the 2019B or 2014 for like 4 or 5 more years because we refinanced in 2019. The 2019A was a big refinance, a bunch of older stuff where we saved about $1 million in interest over time. But once you do that, kind of locks you in for a while again. And so
the likelihood of refinancing current debt is probably small since we're at a favorable interest rate. But if we go and borrow money for the new building and a 6% rates drop, there should be an opportunity that we could go and refinance that.
Yep. A good question. But yeah, we tried to save, we took a bite of the apple in 2019 and saved some money, but who knew they'd go even lower after that for a while. But yeah. All right. Now I think you're finally done with me.
Okay.
Great job, Steve.
Thank you. Thanks, Steve. Sam, tell us about Capital Projects.
This is a brief overview of our upcoming capital projects this year that we anticipate going to construction. Most of you are familiar with a lot of these, but I'll run through them briefly. I don't have anything to add really on top of the board packet, but if anybody has any questions as we're going through, just feel free to chime in. So the largest, probably most critical project we have this year is the Summit Park Tank 1 replacement. For your information, Corey, it's the lowest tank we have in the Summit Park area of the system. There's 3 tanks and stacked booster pump station arrangement in Summit Park. And the lowest tank serves the largest service area, but is also the most undersized of the 3. So it's been a project the district has been tracking for a while, and it was included as part of the 2019 impact fee facility. So we're finally getting that project done. We successfully bid it with FX Construction, which we're excited to work with. And we're also going to upgrade our chlorination system in the area, moving it from a booster pump station to a tank mixing oriented system, which is something we've had a lot of luck with our last chlorinator upgrade in the Silver Springs area. So that's the Summit Park Tank 1 project. Another large project we have going on this year is also in Summit Park. Surprise. This is a collaborative project with Snyderville Basin. So it'll be a combined water and sewer project, but Mount Regional is carrying the contract and we're getting reimbursed via an agreement by Snyderville Basin. The county has also tacked onto the project with the paving costs. They requested kind of above and beyond paving requirements for the project, and we're able to share in costs, and we're hoping that will be successful end product for all the parties involved. We're kind of on ongoing discussions right now with the county and the sewer district. We're going to continue these summer park projects in the future. We'll give some more updates on those going forward to the year. And then now we're moving kind of these tier 2 projects, I call them. So these are under the budget threshold of less than 5% of our annual operating budget. We'll give less updates on these throughout the year in general. And both of these projects are actually betterments or partnerships with different promontory projects that we're trying to take advantage of the district this year. The first one is essentially creating an alternative transmission pathway out of promontory to get our treated drinking water from Signal Hill into the general distribution system, main hub of our distribution system we call the Atkinson Zone. We're able to do so at a relatively low cost by taking on a promontory's project. And again, they're carrying the contract as part of their Sage Hills Estates subdivision. So it's primarily a transmission line and also some changes to mechanical work and some valving inside a pressure reducing section.
At grade, not underground.
At grade. It's going to be a very, very nice the last project promontory is the Browns Canyon Road Betterment. So this has 2 parts to it. We're upsizing a distribution line that's being built as part of promontory's project. And we're also extending said water line around 800, 900 feet or so, all the way out of promontory to meet Browns Canyon Road. And the intent there is if there was ever any development in that area, it'd provide us with a chance to further regionalize the district. And we wouldn't be going back, in the future, redigging up the new road and upsizing the water line, creating a whole thing. So again, Promontory is going to carry this contract. They have not yet bid it. They're waiting for more favorable bidding conditions, or they hope to find more favorable bidding conditions coming this year. So we're working out the budget number for this one, and we do not have a contracted number for the project. Updates have come there.
So when you put in a dead end like that, we not flood it. We just put the infrastructure in place. And if we want to use it, we can.
Yeah, that's essentially going to be the strategy. So the last piece of the live water line will be at the entrance station or guardhouse as you come off Browns Canyon Road. And as I remember, I think it's about 700-800 feet off the road. So that portion of the water line from the guard station to Browns Canyon Road
will be
valve off deadline.
Nice.
And then charged up, of course, we'll do all the pressure testing, vacuum testing during construction, but then I'll go dead and we'll utilize that in the future. When and if we do.
We have had people in Browns Canyon call us.
Yep.
Remember.
Is there an appetite at the county for that, or? Was I supposed to say that out loud?
It's appetite. Browns Canyon development.
Because that kind of gets into the MIDA zone, right? Like,
yeah.
It's coming on.
Yeah. I was just curious.
Well, if that bill passes, Summit County doesn't get to decide their own development anymore.
So, yeah. It's already passed.
It did pass.
Yep.
Yeah. Didn't you see the people with torches and pitchforks out there?
Oh. I listened to it on the radio today, and somebody called in. There's like a half hour with Governor Cox call in. And somebody asked him about that, and he said, I have to admit, I don't know what this bill is, because they brought up Dakota Pacific specifically and things like that. But he says, I will look back to it. He says, I don't like government overreach. I was a mayor and a city council person first, so, but I'll, anyway, interesting, but it passed anyway. Huh?
Well, it's on the governor's desk. I don't know if the governor signed it, but that's the last
one. The governor yet, but. Yeah,
I think it passed unanimously in the House and almost unanimously in the Senate.
Well, he admitted today he didn't know anything, so he'll have to read up on it before he vetoes it or signs it. Well,
Senator Winterton asked on the floor of the Senate if this was specifically targeted at Summit County. And the answer from Senator Cullimore was yes.
Wow.
There you go.
Everybody knew that.
Experience.
Wow.
He was the sponsor of the hideout bill.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. Just wrap up this real quick. We got our tier 3 projects. So these, are not externally bid. They're in-house projects. These are the fun ones we kind of do and leverage Brian and the operations team. The first one is the spine booster pump station upgrades, which is spilling over from last year. We are currently finishing the inside of the building and then hopefully scheduling delivery of the electrical control panels within, what do you think, Chris, a few weeks?
Yeah, within a month or so, I would guess, yeah.
So we got the building closed in. We can continue to make progress at a peak season and should be in good shape on that project. Silver Springs booster pump station to the White Pine tank connection. This is an additional pump in an existing booster pump station that allows the district to have some more flexibility in the Silver Springs area of the system and leverage our groundwater sources over there. No big updates on this one. We're running into supply chain issues and the pump continues to be delayed. But I don't see any reason why we still can't get everything wrapped up prior to peak season this year. So that's still the goal. This third one, the Colony Airbreak tank upgrade, is probably the least critical of these four. So if something were to slip, I think we'd probably choose this project. And this is essentially retrofitting an air brake tank, which functions a lot like a pressure reducing valve up in the Colony, to make it more reliable and kind of come in line with the rest of the standards in the system. There's also a large residential construction project going on nearby the PRV station. So I think it'd be a good timing for us to get it done if we can get it done this year. And the last one is the upgrade of Sump Equal to, again, trying to add to it. Hey. Go ahead, Mike.
Like Mike froze.
Mike, did you have a question?
He said,
Mike, we're having trouble hearing you.
Oh, that's right. Hopefully, grab Mike back in a second here. The last project is Sump Equal 2, which is rehabilitating old well. Again, so brings part of the system. We can hear you, Mike. I think. Acquired for your information, we lost a critical groundwater source over in this area. And this is part of an effort to kind of rebuild the portfolio. Yeah. And the last page for you guys' reference is just a proposed project schedule for the year, an annual project schedule. I also put our design projects on there, just as an FYI. And then I'll update that quarterly, provide an updated board. We'll be able to track the projects kind of using that scheduling tool spreadsheet.
I had a question about the schedule. So when you say that it's 80% complete, is that construction project or construction progress, or is that design process?
Yeah, that's a great question. So any of the tier one, tier three projects, that's going to represent construction.
Can you guys hear me?
That's a little better, Mike.
Go ahead, Mike.
Tier one, two, and three, that represents construction progress. And then if they're in the design and engineering studies category at the very bottom of the sheet, then that represents progress on the design side. And then with the percentages, I'm just tracking scope, so not against budget spend, but then I also included the total project budget. I'm just trying to make a digestible one-page snapshot. That's just kind of our gut feeling about where we're at scope side.
I think we lost the audio.
Oh, there you go.
Oh. Hey, that's the best you've been, Mike.
So maybe Mike can't hear us either. Mike, we can hear you. Did you have a question?
Lisa, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Mike should just type it in the chat, the question, and then you can answer. I can't hear Mike. I think we're all having the same audio issues with him.
Yep.
Anyways, that's a plan. It's ambitious and exciting, and we have some cool projects going on in the district.
We're going to pile more on Sam, so.
You guys hear me?
Yes.
I lost.
No, we can't hear you. We broke it up again, Mike. Chat.
Just tell him to call your phone, maybe.
I have some questions.
Okay.
If we can, Sam, if we can go back up to the top. I'm not trying to be a smart ass or funny or whatever, but on Summit Park, I mean, we're spending a lot of money on Summit Park. Is it better to blow everything up and start over? Or is this money being well spent for one and two?
I think they're certainly meeting critical district needs. the greater conversation of, you know, whether it makes sense to spend disproportionate amount of money up in Summit Park, I think it's kind of a larger chat. But these two projects are critical for the district. And I'd also add that the waterline project is collaborative with the county and Snyderville Basin. So I think it's also a good opportunity there and kind of fits into the greater district vision for our replacements up in Summit Park.
And the tank upgrade will also benefit not only Summit Park, but also that Discovery area. So that's, and the chlorination, there's benefits of putting the chlorination up in the tank instead of taking it down from Kilby. So there are overall benefits to what, there is method to our madness, Joel.
All right. Thank you very much.
Mike?
Yes.
Okay. You had a question.
Well, I lost the audio.
Okay. Can you hear us now or?
I'm trying to, I signed out of Zoom and I'm trying to, come back in.
It's still showing.
We still show you connected.
He's having an internet issue at home.
Yep. It may be in your internet at home.
But you're on speaker. We can all hear you if you want to ask Sam the question.
Or was it just
audio? Yeah, I didn't have a question on the material. I just it was cutting in and out. And so let's see. It says it's joining and... Maybe I can just listen in.
This meeting is being recorded.
Well, there it goes. Okay.
You see him?
Yep, finally.
Do I want to join as a panelist or an attendee?
I just promoted you to panelist.
Okay. I can hear the audio.
Okay, looks like it does.
Can you hear us through Zoom?
No. Okay, I can.
So I have you muted on my phone.
I know what it's doing. It says my name, and I got the green square, but nothing in the square.
Stay on the phone, Mike.
Don't know what happened.
We'll just leave you on speaker.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay, so any other questions for Sam on the capital projects? Otherwise, we're on to Andy.
Good job, man.
Thanks. Okay, I'll be brief. Next month, do we think we'll have the new computers next month?
Yes.
If you can all bring in your district issued, Surface or computer or whatever, Chrome, we are replacing those. And we realize that they're probably outdated. And so we will replace those. So please bring those to the meeting next month.
What are they getting replaced with?
Abacuses and
stone tablets.
You know what an abacus is.
Yep. What would you like? I mean, it's somewhat up for discussion. The Chromebooks are the easiest because they're locked into the Google world already. I know Mike has some issues with it occasionally. So the hesitancy of you guys using your own devices is, again, the whole grandma request thing. If something were to happen, you guys are using your own devices.
Yeah, because I've stopped using the Chromebook.
Okay.
So, because it was kind of clunky. And so maybe the newer ones are easier and it'll prevent that problem. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm fine with whatever. I've got this figured out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Sounds good.
Sam, Brian, Chris, and I met yesterday with Susan Hodekirk from the state and Kent Wilkerson, our river commissioner. Jeff Gittens was also here, and we're going through and cleaning up water rights, what we have where, what the state shows, trying to get that all cleaned up. And then with Susan talking about reporting, lagging reports, leading reports, who gets what and how. So we've been working on that cleanup. So you're going to see a little hit to our legal budget, but it's an important step that we need to do and get that straightened out. Of course, Sam is very shy talking about the work that's going on with Jacobs and with Owen Collins. Those projects are still moving along. We'll meet with Jacobs in, I think it's 2 more weeks. They've identified several different things with different priority levels. So that is another continuing project up at the treatment plant. But I think that's going well. In 2 weeks or a week from Monday, several of us will be going down to St. George for rural water. Probably 7 or 8 of us that'll be down for that conference. If you haven't had a chance to read Lisa's legislative update and human resources update, she's putting a lot of time and effort in tracking those things within the legislature. At this point, there's really no big surprises that we know of, but it seems like as the legislature is beginning to sunset, it's when the crazy things happen. So that is all I have.
Okay. Thanks, Andy. Did anyone have any questions on any of that?
I don't.
Okay. Dave Thomas, what do you have for us?
I don't have anything.
Nothing. This is 2 months in a row.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Just don't get into trouble.
Okay. So we're on to questions on department updates. Did anyone have any questions on the department updates?
I had one for Chris on the SCADA upgrades.
Uh-huh.
How'd that go?
We're 99% of the way there. Sam and I were working through one of the state reports today. We have a small issue with getting the data out, but it's just hiccups at this point. The big lift is all done.
Cool.
And everything's working. And everybody seems to like the changes. So
looks good.
Great. Looks really good.
Happy staff.
Cool. Yep.
Right on. That was it.
Corey, any questions on the department updates?
No.
Joel?
Yeah, I have a question. Is it time for us to start to think about the summer and the spring and the water supply? I'm not saying we should do anything, but at least I'm asking, should we think about it?
Yes.
I mean, it's a little hard, obviously, to know what the future's going to bring. But, I mean, I don't think we're out of the woods yet.
Nope. And I've had some conversations with Weber Basin, and I believe Andy's had some as well with some other folks. And I really, you know, their position is very much in line with ours in that, you know, we have a great snowpack, but we've leveled off, you know, we've been dry for a while. So our snowpacks that were at 200% are now at, you know, more like 150%. And every day that it's dry, we're losing 2%. So that we're by no means out of the woods, and we by no means want to stop that conservation effort that we all started these last few years. So Weber Basin is still going to be, while there are no formal restrictions currently anticipated, they're obviously still very closely watching and will continue to watch the weather patterns as we move forward. But they are still going to be asking people to, even if there may not be an enforced restriction, they're going to be asking for 2 to no more than 3 times a week watering, delaying irrigation of secondary irrigation starting up, stopping it earlier, similar to the things they did last year. And Weber Basin recognizes we don't want to lose any gains of what we have started. So Mountain Regional feels the same way. We're still going to be asking for lots of conservation. I'll be talking to you probably at the March meeting about the turf replacement program that I've been working with Weber Basin on. We're a little bit, we're in a little bit of a holding pattern right now as the legislature finishes up. And there's a bill currently running that would add another $10 million to the $5 million we got last year for turf removal. So once we get that language and the requirements that the state will be looking for us to have in order to be able to leverage that money with Mountain Regional customers, we will be doing that. I've put a skeleton proposal together and I'm going to get that to John, and we're going to start drafting up an agreement on how the turf removal program will work. But I think we're going to have a good program that I'm excited to share with you all probably in March.
All right. Thank you.
No stopping conservation efforts on our end as far as we're concerned.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions, Joel? No.
Perfect.
Okay. Mike, do you have any questions?
No, I think that all sounds really good.
I know we thought we were, go ahead, Amy.
Can we, Ian said that he won't be able to make the March meeting. Is everyone else able to attend? We do have that scheduled for our annual board training by Mr. Thomas.
Always my favorite meeting of the year.
Great slides.
It's also our election of officers.
I'm also going to be in Florida until May, unfortunately.
But you'll be able to join us via Zoom?
Yes, absolutely.
I'll be here.
Corey? Yeah. So just Ian, it sounds like you'll just have to have a makeup class.
Abe, how do I do that?
How do you do what?
Makeup class. Annual board training.
We can put it on your website.
Dave's only trying to do like 5 things at once.
All right. Can I ask a couple of questions on department updates?
Mm-hmm.
So Sam, what do you mean when you say what a water's age is?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Shit, put some background in there. But so water age relative to its treatment time is a good indicator of general water quality health. And age is one of, especially with disinfection byproducts, which is a carcinogen that we track and we're regulated that's within the distribution system. It's one of the main driving factors of those DBPs or disinfection byproducts within the system. So if you can use a hydraulic model or another tool to estimate the age, you know, in hours or days, however you want to think about it, that can also be a good analog to see where you're going to have these greater DBP issues within the distribution.
So the age after it's been disinfected?
Yeah. Exactly.
So it's not like the age of the water, like whether it's it's been in a glacier for 1,000 years.
No. Yeah, with regards to treatment.
Okay.
Yep. So we've got natural organics occurring in the water. You use some sort of disinfectant. We use cortin. Those two things come in contact with each other. Then the clock starts, and the more time that elapses, the greater formation potential there is for these disinfection byproducts, among other things. So yeah, age starts at treatment. In my world.
I just wasn't sure. So so Steve, I had a question just based on current events. So you said you were, and this might be a Lisa question too, you filed transparency reports with the state, and we found out today that there's no requirement for water companies, I guess, to disclose how much a golf course uses. Like, is that something that anyone ever requests from us, or is that like, what do we share with the state? And
the transparency reports we share
basically all revenues and expenses. No usage data, at least not from what I see. It's what payroll is, how everybody can look up what a government employee makes. I update that, the cash, where all our cash is in banks, that kind of stuff. Then the fraud risk that we go through in December, you have to upload that to them, our budget, our audited financials, but nothing along usage lines. It's all just financial revenue, expenses, payroll, that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
We do report.
When we report to the state, though, do we break out that separately, the raw water?
Well, they would see.
Not. I mean, from our usage reporting. That would be a Sam or Chris question.
Yeah, so the reporting that we do does not include golf courses specifically. I don't know how that's categorized. Is it CNI water?
Well, we have it broken out specifically in our billing, and it's the usage is there. I wonder how, and I don't know how that's being reported to the state.
With water rights reporting, there's four or five categories that the water gets lumped into, one of which is irrigation.
Which oh, yeah.
Golf course is what for us. But if you were, again, this is someone in this room, I don't think you'd have the granularity to know that that'd be like a one-to-one thing if the irrigation water would equate to golf course use. So we do in a sense, but not kind of the level you're talking about.
Yeah, so we haven't had a request from KPCW or the park record to disclose that. And then I just a couple other things on the SB 76, which it was Jana from the county had mentioned it in the park record, like that it might involve like combining water companies if we had any.
The regionalization.
Yeah, I don't know, Dave can speak to it as well. I think maybe there was some confusion about what regionalization meant. And my understanding from talking to, going to legislative sessions and talking to other water folks in the water industry, is this is regionalization more like what we have done here in Park City and Summit County with our regionalization agreement, where we are interconnected and support one another if we have interruptions. So Weber Basin came in and kind of is now the wholesale of the water. And there's more of a regional feel for how we can back each other up if we have situations that should arise. And that's what I think the intent of this is. For example, I know this has long been something that concurrency is something that we look at here, that now, they're not able to do on the east side, and Dave may want to speak a little bit more to this, but I think it's involving all those different water companies, and the east side might be an example of canal companies, city water systems, unincorporated systems, private systems, and having discussions about growth and conservation and how we're going to use the water in that region in a collective way up front when we're doing planning for growth. Not on the back end. We're not trying to fix it. So it's in my mind, it's a good thing. I know UAC was opposed to it. I think they thought it was an overreach, and we don't need one more water person telling us what to do. But in my mind, I feel like it makes really good sense to be proactive rather than reactive.
And rural water does support this.
The main thing is that the county will have to have a water element in its general plan. It has not had that before. In order to do that, it needs to kind of convene the water companies, water entities together and talk about it. We've kind of already done that with water concurrency. The problem is that this bill may have some problems being implemented because of decisions that the legislature made the last legislative session. So it can be in your general plan, water element, but actually implementing it, implementing a regionalization program as part of public health is actually prohibited in state law.
Of course.
That's thanks to COVID, right, Dave?
Yeah.
So, because we wouldn't want the health department to tell us what to do.
So that presents a problem. And I imagine as jurisdictions go through this process and find they can't really implement any of these, they'll probably have the legislature revisit that issue.
Okay, I have one more question, Lisa, and that was on HB 349. Is there anyone actually doing any reuse projects in Utah?
Yes, there are quite a few going on in the Wasatch Front area. And what they're concerned about is that this reuse is going to take water that would have been going down to the Great Salt Lake and taking it out and as we continue to reuse it. So the last time, I'm not sure where it is right now. I think it was, I don't know if it's in the House or the Senate. I think it has some good qualities to it because we need to be thinking about reuse projects and how that may affect. And this is primarily speaking to those in the Great Salt Lake Basin. It's Great Salt Lake Basin reuse projects because we're really worried about the levels of Great Salt Lake. Now in Colorado and in Southern Utah, reuse, yes, 100%. Let's reuse that water over and over and over again. So this is more of a Great Salt Lake Basin situation. So there are reuse projects. They are saying that the reuse projects that have already been approved would be able to continue to move forward. It's just anything that would be coming online that's a new project, it's going to have to go through another level of review to make sure that if you are doing reuse, that you have some mitigating factors in place in order to make up for the water that is not making it now down to the Great Salt Lake. That's their concern with this.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. And I just wanted to say, it seems great that we've been able to promote from within, you know, that Jackson is now getting promoted and you've got four people in the lead tech program. So great job.
Yeah, I am really, really excited about that. We've had already some trainings go on within the departments and we've had people have some really great experiences. I know one of our, Cody Thornton, one of our operators in distribution, will be attending the leadership Park City 101 course tomorrow that I think is great. You know, he showed interest in wanting to get involved. And I think it's a really great opportunity. I'm also really happy with, you know, we have gone out to look for a water distribution, a water technician in the distribution. And we have four really good applicants with some great skills, some electrician skills. And I think I really have to attribute it to us, you know, bumping up those lower wages. And we're getting people who really can bring some value and want to be at Mountain Regional and have a skill set to bring and want to grow with the company, because we've set some of these policies in place with these lead tech programs and trying to be a little bit more progressive. And so I'm super excited about the quality of candidates that we have already. So we have four that we already have applicants for. We'll have one more week to leave the position open. And then we already have four seasonals that have applied for summer work. So I'm really, really excited. I'm really, really excited on the HR front.
Great.
Is the seasonal slot still open?
We haven't closed it yet, so we are still accepting applications if anybody else is interested or you know someone that might want to apply.
Are you interested?
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. I get the fresh air. Who wouldn't want that?
Spend some time in Summit Park?
At least it's in the summer. As long as Joel's right next to me,
yeah, I'll be there.
And one thing I should have done at the beginning is welcome Corey, so our newest board member. I'm excited to have somebody young and fresh joining us, and I think it'll be great.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome.
Hey, are you, Karen, are you saying we're all old people?
Getting there.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Okay, if we don't have anything else, shall we adjourn at 7:22?
I had one quick, and maybe I missed it, I'm sorry. Did you want to talk about the CMGC, Andy, or maybe you already did, to give the board?
So I have, so one of the things that we are exploring is whether or not to hire a construction manager general contractor, CMGC, to help us with the construction of our building. The county issued an RFP, which we joined with, and we're in the process of selecting or whittling down the list of potential candidates. There are 7 entities that have applied. We've whittled it down to 4. We're going to have interviews on March 2nd. And I was asking Dave at the beginning of the meeting if the county, since the county is further along than we are, would we be bound from the date that the county signs a contract to start, or could we separate? And it sounds like we can separate. And it sounds like we could even choose a different CMGC other than the county. So stay tuned to that. And of course, if we enter into our contract, I will be back for another budget amendment, because it is not something that we have currently in the budget. But I think there's a lot of benefits, a lot of good applicants for that. When we started with CRSA, I did ask them a question about the CMGC. They have identified people that are preferential to work with and those that are less desirable. And so we just need to make sure that we don't have oil and water as we go through this process. Hopefully we can find a good team. So, and if you've driven out past Home Depot and everything, you see all the earthwork moving in, I think, a sewer line connection.
Okay. Anything else? Then we stand adjourned at 7:24.
Thank you, Mike.
They're not always this short.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thanks, Lisa. Enjoy your hockey.